speakerphone from the green light to the speed trap. Regarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gas! With its mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track. Barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motor Mouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the live feed, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Even!
Do you remember back in 1966? Country Jesus, help me the blues, that's where I learned my lick. Up from coast to coast and line to line, the Devil County there. I'm talking about that Outlaw X is cutting through the air.
Oh yeah, I'm talking about that Outlaw X too, and you have the X Factor, Motor Mouth Radio, Long Island's only...
On the X!
Yeah, only automotive talk show with your host, Ray Guarino, and his compadre wingman at XO, Joe
Dusty.
D. Dusty Hill, taking up the bass duties over here. Very good, Joe. Yes. We're kicking it off nice, and I just figured we had a little bit of a kick today.
You tell him, Billy.
Yeah, there we go. Actually, I should be Frank.
Frank, I know. I was well. You're always Frank with me. I don't know.
Yeah, I am. That's true.
Brutally so.
That's other people say that to me too, and I say, hey, you know what? Would you want it any other way?
Well, the truth is good.
This way, you know what you got. You know. So I'll tell you what else you can get. You can get on this show by calling us at 516-572-7440. You can also get with us by following us on social media. Follow us on MotorMouthRadio.com. That's all your weekly stuff. You'll get blog posts. You can sign up for a weekly blog reminder of stuff we covered during the week.
Blog.
Yeah, follow us on Twitter, MotorMouth Radio, and Joe's favorite, Instagram,
Real_
MotorMouth Radio. We do occasionally put up pictures of stuff we do and things we get involved with at our respective shop jobs that are second jobs for us, but they sometimes become like...
Obsessions.
The real thing, yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a story today, if we get to it, about I had some downtime. I didn't have a job to do in the shop for somebody else, mm-hmm. so I brought my own car in.
Oh, the kiss of death.
You know, when do you get to do that? But I started hearing a little bit of a clunk in the front end when I went over a bump, and I said, almost like when a shock, like, you know, you go over a bump and the wheel will move, it'll travel, and kind of when the body comes up and the wheel drops down, you hear a bit of a noise. And to me, I usually associate that with a strut, but I'd done struts in this car a while ago. So I wanted to check it out, and I also have a parking brake issue I wanted to look at, but I also have a flashing thing in my head that's I want to take care of, too. So let's do this. Let's go to the phones and the fun and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, guys, it's Jim.
Hi, Jim. What's happening?
Oh, Jim, you want to finish the story about my noise?
I apologize for interrupting your story about your noise.
No, we'll get back to it later. It's okay.
Well, I just want to make my own noise because I have a leftover assignment from last week. Joe demanded Jim abides. And basically, I just got a really long story that I will shorten as best as I can about how fuses can really mess with you and how you really need to have your own good mechanic.
Okay.
Okay, that's a good topic.
One of the things, of course, is I am probably the only car person in my entire family.
Uh-oh.
So, basically, I'm always getting the phone calls, hey, I got a thing problem with my car, and my first thing I say is, well, take
so
it to a mechanic.
So, your
I'm
own little Motor Mouth Radio.
Or go to Motor Mouth Radio, even better. I wouldn't trust my brother to hold a screwdriver right. Mm.
Some
but
people
anyway,
can't fix lunch.
No. So, basically, my brother calls me up and says my nephew has a problem with his car, where it's going into limp mode at all kinds of weird times.
Limp mode.
Yeah, so he takes it to his regular mechanic. You know,
what kind of car is this, by the way?
What's that?
What kind of car?
It's a 2003 Saturn L300.
Saturn. Okay, go ahead.
So
Better
he calls me
Audi.
Up and he tells me about this, and I'm like, okay, so what have you done so far? And he says, well, I took it to my regular mechanic, and he changed out the...
The thing, exactly.
Something that, like, okay, that doesn't sound right. Why is he changing the throttle body, thank you, and without knowing what's going on? So I tell him, hey, you know, the guy's got to download the codes from the computer to find out exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
So he hangs up on me, calls me back, and goes, yeah, he did all that, but he says it's got something wrong, something with the transmission. I'm like, okay, and? Well, he's not sure what it is. Oh, God, really?
Okay.
That's when I was, look, I have a mechanic. Here's his phone number. You go to him. Mm-hmm. I don't, look, it's not going to be cheap, but it is going to get fixed.
Okay. Sounds like okay, we're going, so he, you know. To that place, mm-hmm. that far and distant
place.
Where
no one has gone before.
Yeah, exactly.
Where cars may never come back from. Okay. So what happened, Jim?
So he calls my guy, doesn't like my guy, takes it back to his original guy, who now changes out the transmission module. I'm like, oh, really? Oh, and he puts in a junkyard one to boot.
Okay.
And all of a sudden he says, hey, wait a minute. My ex next-door neighbor now works at a place somewhere down in Babylon. Okay, fine. Let's go to him. So he basically tells him, look, it's going to take some time to figure out what this is. So he leaves it there for a day. Finally, after about 6 hours of troubleshooting Joe style, he finds out that the fuse going to the transmission module was intermittent.
Ah,
an intermittent fuse. Now, that is an oddball if there ever was one.
Seriously.
Yeah, and I said, look, there was no way. I told my brother, no way in hell I was ever going to find that.
No.
And it looks like no way in hell your mechanic was ever going to find that.
No.
So it's like, bottom line is, first of all, fuses can screw with you. And right. Every single person out there who isn't a mechanic needs to find a good, trustworthy mechanic that they can go to for stupid stuff like this.
Right. And one must be ready to hand over the keys to the car and say, is it going to be done by lunch? No, because it might take some time. Because that'll actually lead into one of my stories. But okay, that's good to know. So what do? You just popped another fuse in there and bang, zoom, we're done?
Yeah, changed the fuse and the car's been fine ever since.
Wow.
Yeah, but like, you know, did 6 hours frame, of labor later.
Did you frame that fuse?
I did not. My brother
probably I would have that friggin' thing laminated.
You know, the guys
hanging up above my toolbox.
The other guys in the shop know. They know because I do this. And actually, Mike had brought up, he was listening to the show, Joe, where Chris filled in for you. I was in Tennessee last month.
Mm-hmm.
And he heard Chris talking about my propensity for forensically autopsying auto parts.
Right.
I'd want to see that fuse because I'd want to look at it under a loop. I'd want to look under it closely to see if I could see something. I'd maybe put a load on it to see if I could find a little micro arcing.
Yeah.
And then I'd cut it apart.
Exactly. Well, that's like that Benz fuse. There was like the little tiny crack in it.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody knew nothing until we pulled it out and actually looked at it. You know, stuck a meter on it.
Yeah.
But you're right. You do need somebody who's actually going to engage in like some critical thinking.
Yeah.
And my biggest thing is, of course, I do know a lot about cars, but I am not a mechanic, which, of course, is driving me crazy right now because the station wagon is giving me problems and I got to go look at it later today.
You know, the thing I thought of, Jim, with that problem is, ironically, most of the times what we hear is someone has an electrical problem. I just changed the fuse. Like, well, what'd you change the fuse for? Was it bad? No, I figured I'd start there. That's where everybody starts.
Yeah.
So ironically, they didn't in this case.
See?
You know, which is just, hey.
It's always the last place
you look. It is a simple and cheap thing that you can do. So.
The wild, wacky world of auto repair, yeah.
Right, right.
Well, yeah. I've even seen it where the fuse was not the problem. It was the actual female terminal that the fuse
Stop. I was going to say that. Right. Stop.
Too late. I can't help but I think faster. I don't really think faster than you. I think the piece in my brain that makes my mouth go works faster than yours.
Every Sunday morning at noon, you guys get into this mind meld thing.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you for letting me tell my tale of woe.
Thanks, Jim. That's a good one.
And let's hear about what goes on with the wagon. Give us a call back at some point.
Right. I will do that because it is one of those weird computer things because all of a sudden the low oil light comes on and turns the car off. I'm like, okay, what the hell?
The low oil turns the... That's not supposed to happen.
Joe was already doing some diagnostics, so we'll get into that and we'll return
to
that
one. We'll talk about that, yeah.
All right, thank you. Right,
thanks, Jim.
Bye.
All right. You never know what's going to come down the pike in this show.
Perhaps
and that's,
there should be oil in the car.
Well, right.
No, and Jim, I'm sure, it's right up the stump and so forth.
Yeah.
You know.
So just to kind of.
You had your noise there.
Yeah. I pulled the front. I looked at the front end and said, okay, I see. I'm going to do the, ironically enough, the right side where I hear the noise. That link looks good, but I can move it a little. The left side, the one of the little boots is cracked. So I'm going to change the pair.
Right.
And then I pulled the calipers, checked the brakes, did all of that. And then I went to the rear to look. look at why my parking brake isn't working. I lubed the assemblies, took the right side off, and noticed that the pins, which were in the boots with the plugs on them, so they were out of the elements.
Yeah, nice.
I mean, the front ones came out fine.
Yeah.
The rear ones, they were coming like tight. Just didn't want to come out.
Mm.
And the problem was I only had long drivers at the shop. I had the short ones at home. So I had the long ball end driver and the ratchet in the rear coil spring. So even with my 80 tooth long ratchet, I could only move it about 5 degrees. I'm like, oh, crap. So fight to get it apart. That wasn't the weird part. Try to put it back in. I think I need a caliper is what it is, I think.
Mm.
Or the cable on that side is a little sticky. I couldn't get it out. Now we're getting into like the hour plus range, and now I just want to put it back together.
Sure.
Those pins were so clean and pristine, no rust on them. So I re-greased them, re-greased the boots.
Right.
You put the pin in, it should go right in through. It wouldn't. It would go like three quarters. Both of them would go about three quarters of the way in and stop.
Mm.
And I'm tapping them with a hammer. Nothing. I had to pull them out. I'm looking inside. I'm putting my finger inside. I'm looking with a light. There's no obstructions.
No galling, maybe?
These things were pristine, Joe. I didn't take a picture because I was so full of grease.
Yeah, right.
Like, you know, they're like that polished stainless steel looking kind of.
Yeah.
Not even like a, sometimes you get that like shadow of a, you know, like a darker color on there.
Yeah.
Not even that.
Maybe a smidge bent.
You know, I don't know how they could have bent because they go through the caliper, right into the caliper bracket.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, I know. It doesn't make any sense. Yeah, I'm just thinking what things that would make it not fit like.
Hmm. I don't know. So that took me the better part of 2 hours to get them in.
Mm.
And, you know, big pair of pliers, pulling them. I feel, let me just get one thread. I'm down to using an Allen key. I guess the takeaway from this is, now I had done those brakes in my driveway the last time at home.
Yeah.
And it went fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking, what if you are the weekend mechanic at home trying to do this and you face this? Your car's being towed somewhere Monday morning.
Hello, Mr. Flatbed?
Yeah, you ain't going to get this together.
Right.
You know, and I mean, I'm on a lift, so I'm moving the car up, down, her, any position I want.
Right,
so
right.
I can stick my head in there, you know.
Sure.
And I'm still hitting a brick wall every time. And I said, geez, you know. Now I know why people get turned off to doing work on their own cars. And of course, you know, I mean, I'm thinking about, like, okay, if this was a shop job and a customer, how do you bill for that? I mean, that's kind of hard to bill that time when it just...
You get a caliper.
You got
about 10 minutes, and then the mechanic is going to go over to the boss. I need a caliper, this stupid thing over here. I can't get it back together.
Yeah.
Give me a caliper. I'm going to go get coffee.
I actually want to order one up, just to, like a load of caliper, just to see if those pins would slide.
Yeah.
And I was going to check the other side, but I didn't dare go to the other side.
Sorry, we ain't got it.
So, you know, when you work on your own car, that's what happens. Sometimes you get back-ended. So I think we have a couple of songs today that may actually help illustrate that. Coming up on our first break, we'll have one.
Sure.
The other thing I was thinking of is like, yeah, good parts store up on Old Country Road. And I remembered that, hey, you know what? You can listen to Old Country Road on this station Sundays at 8 p.m. tonight, hosted by our good friend Michael Anthony. He knows how to do a country show. This is the classic country music show, which showcases interviews and legendary artists and the real good old country music. So tune in tonight at 8 for that.
The real stuff. Yeah, that's definitely cool. Yeah, you know, noises under a car these days are they're just tremendous. Like, one thing I also want to point out, although it's not really so much a Mazda thing, it's a lot on GM cars. You hear a lot of, like, clunks.
Yeah.
Bangs, clunks, whatever. And you get under the car and you don't see anything, you know, because the sound of them, like my red Cavalier, it's like, you know, Mighty Cavalier Mark II. That makes some pretty nasty noises when I drop it into gear and, like, training mounts okay, all kinds of stuff. What I found out, there was a couple TSBs, not related to that car exactly, but just kind of poking around bushings, like in the control arms and stuff.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? And you'll never see it. You could be hanging off of them things with a 3-foot pry bar. You ain't seeing nothing. That's where a drive-on lift or a lot of bravery and somebody you trust dropping it in the gear.
Yeah, on the ground. Right. No, you're right.
Yeah, and you see the thing jump.
I was talking about that just a while ago, about an issue where a car, you put it in gear and it clunks. And I said, you know, any of the motor mounts, any of the tranny mounts, they're all suspect.
Anything that's under a load when you, like, drop it in gear.
And then I did say, just like you did, you can't always tell by looking. And even this problem with my car, I'm not 100% sure that I found the problem. And just like I had the same problem years ago in the rear left of the car.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up being a sway ball link.
Right.
But I had to wait. I have this weird ability to, like, hear things, like, at the onset, which is more of a curse than anything, because you look for it, you can't find it. I explained to Mike. I said,
deafness is a curse sometimes.
Sometimes you have to wait for a failure before you can diagnose it.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, that thing about, let it break before, bring it back when it breaks. Well,
right.
That does come in handy, that's for sure.
Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to take a break here on Motormouth Radio. We're going to play a little bit of a graphic representation of what I got yesterday. And we'll be back in a few minutes and take your calls at 516-572-7440, 90.3 WHPC.
Nassau Community College presents Italian Heritage Day, Italian American Women Breaking Barriers. This event is open to the public and is free admission. Monday, October 22nd at 9 a.m., rooms CCB 252 253. For more information, contact Dr. Salvatore Lagumina at 516-572-7422. Coffee and light refreshments will be served. A message from the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Coming up at 12 o'clock today, Sunday, Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D, talking about cars. And like I said, you don't have to know anything about cars to enjoy the show. People watch cooking shows, don't know how to cook. People watch those home repair shows, they don't know how to fix anything. So Motormouth Radio is the same thing. Think about it that way.
I did think about that, Rob. Thank you very much. More Motormouth Radio at your service.
They let you think?
Yeah, no.
They don't let me think.
They try not to, but I try to evade them.
because they made you cough. They sent the radio. Where's your tinfoil hat? You should be having your tinfoil because you don't want them radio waves coming in and messing with your thought processes. There.
I try the cloaking maneuver sometimes to get under their scanners.
But yeah, but that doesn't work sometimes too. Unless you do like Arnold did in that Predator movie and cover yourself with slime. And then you could evade the thermal ones that way.
And let's face it, it's nice having a day where I can take a shower and wear clean clothes and not have to worry about it.
You can stay clean for at least 20 minutes, half an hour.
Feel half human, you know.
I know you end up going to the shop in one form or another, and next thing you know, you are slime.
You come back in another form or another.
Yeah.
So you can get in on the fun, 516-572-7440. Give us a call. Tell us about your car maladies or concerns, and we'll walk you through it.
We've got a couple of them out there so far, yeah.
So that's it. I'm back on the road. I'm going to wait and see. I'm going to order up some parts, and I don't know. We'll go from there.
Yeah, because I think it might just be the calipers. You know,
Well, that's the thing. The brakes work.
The sliders, yeah.
The brakes work because I see, you know, the first thing you do is you look through the wheel and you look at the rotor. Is there a clean pattern on the rotor?
Sure.
And there are. So the brakes are working. It's the parking brake on just the one side I'm having an issue with.
It's because then the slider doesn't work. Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, it's with the parking brake that's giving me the problem. So I got the cable and I got some fluid down in there with a needle oiler. Mm-hmm. But the cables are so well sealed to keep water out.
Right.
What I'm going to do is go in and then I followed the path from the cable. It comes up from the right rear wheel. It goes up across the car and then under the big heat shield that goes up to the
parts
middle of the car.
Unknown.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I know where it goes, and that's where it goes to the lever that's on the floor. So I'm going to take open the console up and try and attack it from there, move it from that side, and see if maybe it's just a binding cable on that side.
Yeah, remember, I'm going to date myself here. I remember, like, speedometer cables.
Yes.
We used to pull speedometer cables out. Just take a handful of that, speedometer cable goop, grease, whatever. Put it in your hand, slide the cable through, and then put it back in the casing without removing it totally from the car. And that used to fix all those little squeaky, squeaky things that you used to get.
Yeah. I've been using a product called Dry Slide. I got it from my early motorcycle days. It's a liquid graphite, and it's black. So when you get it on your fingers, it's there for a good long time. So let's go back to the phones and the fun and say, hi, Cole, you're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, Christian, what's happening?
Hey, not much. It's been so long since I called. I called the wrong number.
I was thinking about you last night. I wonder what the heck happened to you.
Yeah. I've just been busy. You know what it is? Every past few Sundays, I've been either upstate or doing something. So, I'm still...
Life gets in the way.
I get, yeah.
Good, good.
I miss anything?
You know, lots of
the usual festivities. You know,
we had our
there's always fun-filled stuff which you could always catch up on the download. By the way,
here's our
shameless plug for the download.
That's right.
I never made it to Belmore this year, really, and that's crazy.
I didn't either.
Me neither.
I live down the block.
Me three. Yeah. That's what happens. I mean, you know, sometimes when you're actually in the trade and you spend the entire day.
Shoemaker's kid.
There you go. And the thing is that my mantra used to be, I hate cars. I hate people with cars. I want to go home on a horse.
You did say that was on one of our earlier promos, right?
Yeah. And you know, sometimes it's like, you know what? I'm done. I just fixed I just did like 7 cars or whatever. Yeah. I don't want to see nobody else's car. I don't want to talk about nobody else's car.
Yeah.
I don't care what your tire pressures are. I don't care what your carburetor float height is. I'm just going to sit home and watch TV.
And then what do? You say, yeah, I'll be a co-host on a radio show all about cars. Okay.
That
means I just smacked myself in another one.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I watch a lot of horror films this time.
Yeah.
Especially like the ones in the 70s.
Right. Oh, I thought you meant like the
car show.
No, I was thinking about the political stuff.
Oh, that too, yeah.
Oh, that too.
Oh, God, talk about a horror show. But anyway.
Is it a big relief now or what? Are we all good?
Yeah, we're all good.
Until the next time.
Right.
I'm not going to get political.
No, we're not going to go there.
I'd rather talk about 70s horror films and hot chicks that are getting, you know.
Well, let me ask you this. You, I'm sure you watch Svengoolie, right? Svengoolie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, of course. Yeah, we go back and forth with that. Yep, yep.
He does some pretty cool stuff. He'll pull some weirdo movies out of the
out
of the hopper.
Definitely that guy,
I was hitting Ray up because they had Munsters Go Home.
Right,
and then
right.
You were watching something else, and then you had me going back and forth like a bunch of maniacs.
Christian and I have this long habit of we'll be watching TV and texting each other and comparing the shows we're watching
randomly.
One time we did come together was on The Song Remains the Same and women's curling. We were watching women's curling at like 1 a.m. and like, hey, check out that show. Wow, look at that. Wow, nice sweep.
I'll get ready this year. Don't worry. It's coming.
Yeah, I know.
But no, it's just been a crazy summer. I feel so out of the loop. And the thing was, a few weeks back, I went to the Brooklyn Invitational for the bike show.
Yeah.
And then the week after that was the Andy and Larry block party,
right?
Which I missed. And then after that, and that's because on Saturdays. And then after that, they had the Rumbler show,
right.
Back onto the BQE.
Yeah. Now I know you usually go to the bike stuff because you could actually drum up business at those shows.
Well, that was part of it. Yes.
You know, of course. Hey, listen. Shameless self-promotion. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, showing your face, whatnot. Yeah, why not?
That's all part of networking,
right?
Actually, that Brooklyn show, Matt from Long Island Racing went down to Jersey because the Jersey race was at the New Jersey Motorsport Park. And he had, you know, he was going down and had some crankshafts that were going down there to a sprint car guy that we were selling cranks to. And then the guy sent us another crank that we lightened. So we've been crankshaft lightening machine work now.
By lightening, I guess you're drilling them?
No, we're knifing them.
Oh, knife edging them. Nice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, now, so we just took a Suzuki crank and we took like almost over 2 pounds out of it.
Wow.
So we're waiting to see what's going to. It took a lot of work to balance it out, but we managed.
So now what does it go from, like, you know, 12,000 to 20,000 RPM?
Oh, it's the torque. It picks up the torque so fast.
Yeah, yeah.
That it you know, and especially with the sprint cars, you're trying to keep that torque up.
Uh-huh.
You're going to have to come out of the turn.
Well, that's it. I mean, that's been the whole thing all along. It was keeping the power band, you know, tailoring that cam to the rest of the combination to keep it right.
Well, that's why we try and everything else around it. Yeah, we're trying to build everything from the crank up now, specialized for certain applications like that. Obviously, in drag racing, you need inertia and get you out of the 60-foot.
Right.
So that's a whole other game. And I just worked on a bike that one of my buddies went up to Lebanon Valley yesterday because he at least got some five passes in yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But I put a brand new drag tire on for him, like a real sticky tire that ended up blowing the clutch on the bike because the clutch couldn't handle the sticky tire.
Yeah.
You know, he said he after he did the burnout, the track prep was so good up there that he couldn't even roll the bike up to the staging line. It was like stuck to the track, you know?
Right. Think about it, Christian. You know this. In the old days of like the AAF, the rails, the early days, the rear tires were the slip device on those cars.
Yes.
They would smoke the tire. That was their way of saving. That's luckily, I mean, it's just the way the tire technology was, but that saved everything else. When they started getting sticky tires, I mean, stuff started breaking immediately.
But that's why we need to make drag racing great again.
Yes, right.
And let them come out and run it just like they did back then.
Right.
No
yeah.
prep.
Yeah.
Poke the tires out of the hole.
Yeah.
At a nostalgia event here on Long Island.
Yeah, here on Long Island.
That's as political as I'm getting today.
That could be the platform for 2020. Let's see if we can work that one in, yeah.
But, you know, that's even, the guy had the V8 drag bike. He used to actually launch the bike off to the side. We were just talking about him.
Yeah.
Not
Elmer Trett. No, he was...
As soon as I hang up, I'm going to be like, oh, there it is.
I know who you're talking about because I've seen him.
'70s, naturally aspirated, fueling, it was an injected alcohol, small block, bike, sidewinded.
Right.
Big tire. And, he would purposely launch off the side so he could slip and blow the tire away.
Right. It was the torque of the bike that he was overcoming with the. And that was the thing, you know, that's how guys, that's why, you know, the argument could go on. I've heard, been parts of it for years. Now they say with the way racing is today, they took so much of that out of the hands of the driver. Everything is computerized.
Formula One.
Literally, they just go in and, you know, steer, push a button, and they're done.
Formula One is like, I don't even watch it anymore because of that reason.
Right.
You know, you want to see a guy. There's a video I got off of Ascot USA that actually put a post up on Instagram, and it was a video. It was a guy. It was actually looked like he was in a midget. It was an open wheel car, big steering wheel. So I'm thinking it was I forget what size. It was a midget. It was like a V8 midget, and he was doing Pikes Peak.
Oh, okay.
And it was, you want to talk about steering wheel work? Let me tell you something. That guy was driving that car. You know, and it was all his input and feedback that he was getting and the input he was putting in trying to wheel that car up Pikes Peak.
One of my favorites, watch some old YouTube videos of guys in the old front engine drags with that little butterfly wheel. You see them working that thing sometimes 90 degrees at a time.
It's all over the place.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of people, it's a good movie, the David Cronenberg film, Fast Company.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I just watched that about 2 weeks ago.
Did you?
Yes, I did. I have a copy
of it. Okay, let's talk about this film real quick. All right. Here's some history. David Cronenberg, did you notice when they were doing the in-car camera, they had that little analog time-lapse up on there in the corner?
Yes.
Right. Do you know, that was real footage.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And a lot of people wouldn't realize with this film that the budget for that film is they're at the max, you know, so they did everything. But they filmed a lot of those passes at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, you can see that it was dewy. Like even at the end when they were pulling into the track, and his girlfriend comes in with the brand new Z, the Camaro, and you can see, like, it looks like it's, like, you know, 5 in the morning. The sun is just coming up. It's dewy. It's like, you don't get to the track that early.
That's a great movie.
It is.
The quadruplane blower.
And the Black Max,
the Black Max guys, yeah.
Yeah, I recommend it. I think I bought the director's cut copy of it because it was, I wanted to see the backstory. And, it's kind of hokey. It's like the end of the plane crash.
The guy that's announcing at the Big Sky Raceway.
Right, real announcer.
It's just that movie is really raw. And if you're a drag racing fan, it's definitely worth it.
I tell you what, on Motor Mouth Radio, on the blog page, there is a list of our favorite car movies, and that one is on there.
Good.
Because I made sure it made it, because I said that definitely, it's not a streetcar movie, but it is a, you know, it's one of the good racing movies.
No, that's a great flick. Even just the footage alone, just the fact that they got that in-car stuff, which some of it's really real.
Right.
Okay. You know, and it's the it's... I guess that 16 millimeter footage that they took in car.
Yeah.
This is no GoPro, okay?
No.
This is no, you know, green screen here. This is the real deal.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, I recommend
it. That's cool. I've been on October Film Fest myself, so I've been on Instagram posting a horror movie every night that I've been watching, and it's been all 70s horror, you know.
Where do we find you on Instagram?
It's Christian_LIRacing.
Good. We'll have to hook up with you because we'll do that. Okay.
Yeah, I just changed it from Mach Modified. Now it's just
got it.
LIRacing. It's very simple. Long Island Racing.
Excellent. Got it. All right.
Trying to keep it real. So.
Yes, sir. But, all right, Christian,
yeah,
it was great.
Oh, and yeah, well. I think the reason why I called is we were talking about scanners. Believe it or not, I got to get my truck inspected. And what do you think happened? The light came on.
Of course.
All right. So, you know, I pulled out maybe an old 442.
Small evap leak.
Yeah, so I went right to the gas cap, and sure enough, I see some cracks on the gasket. So I'm sure it's hopefully my gas cap.
Hopefully so.
Yep. Yeah,
I can't believe it. Yeah, GM's are known.
That's the S10, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty common thing, yeah.
Yeah. I checked the sticker, and I'm like, oh, I'm up this month. And then, bam, light came on.
Jinxed it.
It's worse. You could have been driving to the station. So at least.
Yeah.
I've had that happen. Don't worry. I've never done that.
I know.
All right, guys. Cool.
All right, Christian. Thanks, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah,
man. Right. Thanks for the call.
All right.
You got it.
Bye-bye. And follow Christian at Christian_LIRacing.
Sure,
we're going to do it. As soon as we get off, we're going to do it. We are also, Joe, scheduled for another break. So we're going to have to do that. And here we go with our history of taking it in the extremities, working on your own cars. We'll visit another song here on Motormouth Radio, and we'll be back henceforth on 90.3 WHPC.
Program is brought to you by the Paramount in Huntington, who presents the Music of Cream 50th Anniversary World Tour on Wednesday, October 17th at 8 p.m. 50 years since their debut album, the bloodlines of that trilogy come together to pay tribute to Cream's four albums. Kofi Baker, son of Ginger, and Malcolm Bruce, son of Jack, unite with Will Johns, nephew of Eric and son of Zeppelin, Stones, Hendrix engineer Andy, to play the music that defined a generation. The Paramount is located at 370 New York Avenue in Huntington. More information can be found by visiting ParamountNY.com.
This show is brought to you by the NYCB Theater at Westbury, who presents Dick Fox's holiday doo-wop extravaganza, starring Jay and the Americans, Charlie Thomas's Drifters, Shirley Alston Reeves, the original lead singer of the Shirelles, the original Coasters, the Classics, the Knockouts, and Johnny Farina of Santo and Johnny, on Sunday, December 9th at 3 p.m.
More information is available online at venue.thetheateratwestbury.com.
Oh, yeah, you may be having a backdoor love affair, maybe just a back rear caliper love affair with your car like I had. And that's what happens. I think the takeaway from that is that when that does happen, you seek other advice. Go find a guy who can help you out. It used to be a neighbor who could. Everybody used to have to work on cars in the neighborhood. Not so much anymore. But,
yeah,
you know,
that's the thing. You know, I even back in like the 90s, I used to get some guys that were, you know, retired mechanics or somebody's uncle or something like that. Yeah, I used to work on cars. I was like, well, in 1957, I'm like, hey, go fix a packet, all right?
But you know what else you used to get, Joe? You used to get the guy, you know, when we were kids, the guy who was maybe the machinist or he worked at Grumman.
Yes.
And guys had that intrinsic knowledge.
Yes, about you know how mechanical stuff works.
I mean, they're working on rockets during the day, so yeah, I could, you know, adjust a carburetor.
Sure,
know.
Yeah, they get a basic idea. I mean, especially guys, you know, guys with machinist backgrounds. I mean, they're incredible. I could think of one guy off the top of my head, Johnny, that have machinist training that are really good like that. You know?
Yeah.
But it's critical thinking. It's
absolutely
critical thinking and being able to, you know, depending on what you're working on, you have to have the tools. It's just like fix everything with like a fishing box full of, what used to be Craftsman, now it's Harbor Freight. Yeah, with like a flat blade, a Phillips head, and a couple of sockets that may or may not be even metric.
Well, there you go. That's the problem I had yesterday in my own second tool collection at the shop. I do have a buttload of the short Allen drivers, metric and American.
Right.
And I had so many, in fact, that I took them all home over the summer, and I put the labels on, the socket labels.
Right. Yeah, I remember those things.
We debuted on this show.
Right, right.
What was the guy's name? Let me see. It was only a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, steellabels.com.
Steellabels.com, correct.
Yes. So those are indeed nice.
I took them all home, and I went through all of them, and somehow, inadvertently, I forgot to bring a set of short metrics back to the shop.
Oops.
So I only had the long, like, the, I guess, 4-inch ball end drivers. So I didn't even have the right tool, and I had to improvise. You know, I was almost going to cut the thing off, and I was thinking about that, but the ball end drivers are kind of nice to have. The long ones are nice.
Yeah, you don't want to be, you know, sometimes bending a wrench. I mean, we had, years ago, we had that show with, we had Master Yang on. We had that whole thing about wrench bending.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes, I mean, that's a thing, you know, that definitely could happen.
Actually, Mike called me yesterday, who's at the other shop. He says, hey, do you still have your O2 sensor stuff at the shop in Oceanside? I may need to borrow it. And I said, yeah, I got the O2 socket that has the big window cut out of the side. I have the other one that looks like the closed end of a wrench with a 3/8 tab for an extension welded onto it. And I have the bent 7/8 wrench. I said, they're all in the bottom drawer of the toolbox. Take them when you need them, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we have those specialty tools.
Yeah, because especially if you do a lot, you know, a certain kind of car a lot. You know, for whatever reason, I mean, dealer mechanics or guys that specialize in a certain make, they may have certain wrenches, you know, and this isn't just like, you know, diagnostic tools. I mean, there's certain sockets. I remember my good friend Franz down in Florida, he was doing something on a Benz, and it was this weird 5-pointed star, like a Torx, but to get where he had to get, Mercedes had one that was a specific length that was long enough to go into whatever recess it was, but not too long so it wouldn't hit the firewall.
Right.
You know, and that was like a $98 friggin' socket, which you were not going to use on anything else, but, you know, if you did that particular motor, you'd have it out like at least twice a week.
That's why having a guy in a tool truck is good, because he can supply that for you.
Yes.
Well, we talked about this a lot, and even back last year when I did that, all the work on that guy's 68 Camaro.
Right.
One of the things I had to do was take the header out to get the steering box out.
Yes.
And I was stymied at the shop. My hands were tied, and I said, you know what? I'll show you tomorrow.
At least it wasn't buckwheated.
That's true, right? Well, yeah, you know.
But you did get spanked.
I sure did. Well, I came back with about three different 7/16 bent wrenches. And you know what I use them for? Those are for header bolts on a small block Chevy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have three of them because they're bent at different angles.
Yes.
To get at different bolts. And some of them, even the open end, is maybe ground down a bit for clearance.
Yeah.
And when I showed the guys at the shop, they were like, wow, where'd you get those? Like, my toolbox at home. Like, had these for years. I mean, yeah, a small block with headers. You had to have one of these, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. No, so, let's face it, you know, as it depended on the kind of car. Mm-hmm. It depended on what kind of headers you had.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because your stuff that you worked might not be the same as your buddies who might have had a different
tool. Blackjacks and hookers are different, have a different
exactly.
Range, right?
Yeah, or Doug's or...
Doug, yeah. That's right.
Oh, my God. We just dated, you know, they're going to have to freaking carbon date us now.
We date ourselves all the time. We're not really shy about doing it. You know, but you know what? I've learned,
where I'm from.
I've kind of learned to take it as it's a compliment when people say that. Because I say, yeah, I kind of grew up in one of the best times in life to be involved with cars. I mean, even 10 years or 15 years prior to us, that was pretty cool. Even 20 years prior to us, the guys in the building the 50s hot rods in the day, they were building actually Model A's in the 50s. That was a cool time. But it was all good. It was the heyday, and it was, like you said, you had to be innovative or you had to know guys.
Mm-hmm.
And like you know, here, I'll go down another road. When you had, you've talked about this as well as I, you're doing something at your home in the driveway, boom, somebody, you know, Johnny pulls up, say, and he's, you know, in his Nova, you know, and he's clacking away, like, hey, wait, yeah, I got to adjust the valve. So, yeah, you're going to do like a valve adjustment on his car next. And then there's always like, out of nowhere, there's like five guys show up.
Yeah.
With like leather jackets, some wearing denim jackets. Somebody's always got a six pack, and someone's maybe, you know, well, no,
six pack.
Well, to start, yeah, that was to walk to the house. They had the six pack, and he lived next door. You know,
yeah.
To get the pizza, it always included. Everybody had to go in their pockets and chip in, and usually the guy working on the car got a pass on that because he was the guy.
Right.
I got to eat for free a lot.
Well, Friday night, at the D'Antuono House back in the day was solid liftonite,
yep,
where a couple of my friends who did not understand the concept of valve adjustments,
yeah,
would come over and we'd set up before we went out on the boulevard.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Or, yeah, whether it was valve adjustments or carburetor setting or checking the time or whatever. I was over there. I was always the last one to get out because after I did all this, I had to go inside and take a shower, and they were already hitting the street.
Sure. I told this to Mike last week at the shop. We were talking about the Motion Monte Carlo when we had a couple of mishaps with the leaky oil and stuff. And and I told you know, Mike Jr., I said, this is why. I said, back in the day, you do all this work, you know, and you'd be late already, you had to pick up the girlfriend, you had to be somewhere, so you'd go in the house, put all the tools away, or you just shove them in a pile for tomorrow,
right.
Go in the house, clean up, your mother would be like, hey, eat a lasagna, eat it, mama, I'll eat later, mama, no, eat something, no, I'll eat later.
You gotta eat.
Right.
You can't go out of way.
All right, give me, so you grab something. It's like,
yeah, and then you can't get the food out of your eyes because you just slapped it in there, you know, bare-fisted, yeah.
You clean up, then you go out, and then you fire the car up, and you find out, like, oh, something is wrong. Like, there's an oil leak.
There's a puff of smoke.
Something happened.
There's an ominous bang or clank.
Because you didn't do the danger drive before
right. You
cleaned up. I said, that's why you always do this before, you know.
I'm a big fan of test driving cars before I give them back to customers. Because you never know, you know, sometimes you leave a tool under there. You get out of the car and you find that there's that glow.
Yeah.
You know, especially now with the new magnetic shop lights.
Right.
You,
right,
you get
right.
that glow. It's like, oh, there's my light. You know. Yeah. Or you hear bangy, bangy, bangy because like something you had some vice grip hanging off a cable or something.
Yeah. Well, you find out like you left the drop light under the car. It rips out of the outlet on the side of the house. And they're like, bang, you're trailing a thing.
I was in a shop once where they had it hooked up to the bear machine.
Oh.
Back to that.
Oh, no.
Well, that was the bear machine, man, had really good 60-foot times.
Yeah, right. You know, that doing those danger drives, that's how I learned an intricacy about Holley carburetors.
Yeah.
I had a Holley 650 spread bore on my car forever.
Right.
And I would weekly, you know, well, twice a year, when the seasons change, I would change the thermostat in the car, put a 160 in for the summer, 180 in for the winter.
Sure.
And I would, you know, change the plugs and adjust the carburetor and the timing and all of that, just as a matter of course.
Yeah.
And normally what I would do is, you know, you're doing that, air cleaner's off, you drive the car, it runs like a raped ape, it's great. You come back, you put it all back together, you clean up, you go in the house, you come out and you drive the car, and you're like, ah, wait a minute, it's holding back. What's the matter? It's like, you know, it ain't running right. You had to adjust those carburetors with the air cleaner on. I did it with the air cleaner off, and it was more airflow.
Right.
So that's how I learned a little intricacy about those Hollies. So.
Yeah, there you go. And that's why I have one of those little bendy flexi friggin'
right.
Adjustment screwdrivers there. Then I got the one from Snap-on with the little arrow so you could tell how many turns you did.
That one I actually showed because I still use that.
It. Yeah, with the little quarter-inch drive, yeah.
It's quarter-inch drive, and it comes with two straight slot adjusters and one an Allen driver to do points.
Yeah, no, it comes with all. Yeah,
that's actually showed it to the Snap-on guy. He's like, "Wow!" He goes, "You got some relics." I'm like, "You know what? It's still in the box." I said, "It just sits in the toolbox like that."
Yeah,
I said, "Is this still available? Because I want one for the shop."
Sure,
it's not.
No, I'll bet you it ain't.
Unobtainium.
Yeah,
you know, you got to find when it's going to be used.
Those days are pretty much gone with that stuff, you know.
So I'm going to start following. There's a guy on. I think he's on, you know, I think Mike told me he's on Facebook, but I think he has an Instagram feed. It's like Snap-on Collector. He puts up collectible stuff, so we'll play shots.
Well, as long as he doesn't have an underscore, I have a shot at finding him.
Yeah, right, right.
let's face it, you know, there are some times now that, you know, the amount of tools, I mean, if you think about it, remember you used to get the Snap-on or the Matco catalog?
Yes.
And it was nice. It was maybe like half the thickness of like your basic Sears catalog or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And you would sit there and you would read it, you know, whatever place you were comfortable sitting down for a length of time, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you think about the amount of tools that are out now.
Yeah.
Between specialty tools, specialty sockets, diagnostic tools and whatever. Now you know why everything's online, because there's a hard drive the size of Kansas out there with all this stuff because you couldn't fit it in a book.
That's right.
I mean, that's one reason my company, they don't print catalogs no more.
Yeah. No,
because you can't. There's like 60,000 part numbers, so you can't do it.
Actually, hey, Matco man, our buddy Brian from Delaware, he sent me a Matco catalog.
So
I asked him, I said, you got one? I think it was the one he had on the truck.
No
kidding.
Because
it was a little dog-eared. I think
I love it.
I just love having a catalog. You know,
yeah,
just,
no, there are times that, you know, I'm a book person. You know, when I both have book-type backgrounds, you know, in the parts business and whatever.
Yeah. I thought about that this morning. I like, why do I like to go to a manual and just like even with my own car. Now, I want to go back and I want to look at things. I want to look at diagrams. I want to look at procedures. I think what it is besides the engineering and the data part of it, it gives you time to think as you're flipping the page and looking. And then as you're making notes, you're thinking. You know, you're not just. So I think that's part of the process for me, at least.
Yeah. I mean, well, the big advantage is you're able to flip through it and you can kind of like, oh, wait a minute. I think I saw that a few pages back and you flip backwards or whatever. And then I don't know about you, but there was always stuff sticking out of my manuals. Like, you know, post-it notes, screwdrivers, pens, you know, whatever, different things that you
and
want.
And there's a connecting rod for Joey's car. Hey, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Should have wiped it off.
Yeah, seriously, because at that point it smelled really good. Can't bring it in the house no more.
Yeah, yeah.
But on the other hand, the computer stuff, when you print it out, you have it one shot. Because I can't tell you how many times in the shop we used to have like all the Mitchell manuals.
Yeah, yeah.
And you'd be like, adjust rocker arm to thumbprint. Yeah, foot pounds of torque.
Right.
And then you're screwed. You know what I mean? But now you can print it out. You bring it to the car with you. So there's positives and negatives to either one.
See, but the thing with that is, and I use that, and you had given Chris and I a set of CDs years ago,
yes.
All the Mitchell stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I use them fairly often.
Right.
And I love it because I can print it, like you said, and you can just print copies if you want. You know, and then you can print, I can enlarge, I can do different things. But there was something about having the manual, like you said, going back. Back and forth,
yeah.
That, you know, online, you don't get that back and forth. So,
right. No, there are advantages to both ways.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. We'll take our last break. This one is great because it's going to summarize everything we're doing. Beer drinkers and Hellraisers. These are the guys that we hung out with and still do in many cases, Joe. And we'll be back.
Me? That's what, you know, couldn't talk to the guys about the monastery like that.
Me, the monastery, yeah. Well, I'm in the same boat. But on Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino,
well, you know,
Joe
D. Drunken Sailors.
That's right. Well, we'll do Kenny Loggins another week. We'll son of a sailor. We'll do that. We'll be back with more Motormouth Radio on 90.3 WHPC.
This is hi-fi, okay? High fidelity. You know what that means? That means this is the highest quality fidelity. Hi-fi. Those are two very important things to have in the stereo system.
Join me, Kim Tracy, on High Fidelity for a mix of music with a focus on newer music and lesser-known artists every Thursday at 2 p.m. on the Voice of Nassau Community College 90.3 WHPC and streaming with the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps.
This is Dennis Pitzenberger from Sticker Shock, and if you're not listening to Motormouth Radio, boy, you are lost in the smoke of the burnout. Make sure and tune in each and every week because these guys are exactly what you want to hear. Real car guys, real talk, every single weekend.
Every sound, every note, including the bass, on this track is played by a monkey.
American Hit Radio, Wednesdays and Fridays at 5 p.m. on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Hey, you're slapping that fretboard pretty good over there, Joe. It sounds nice.
Yeah, I loved it.
Sweet. You know, that's it. Old ZZ Top, that's my wheelhouse, man. It was the best. It really is. It still is the best.
Three guys from Texas, same three chords. How many years? Like 40 years?
Yeah.
God bless them.
They were the moving sidewalks in their early iteration.
Yeah, they still come up on the stereo in the toolbox.
Oh,
quite,
sure.
Quite often, you know what I mean? Because it's just something about just that moving and grooving, especially. Yeah, you just got to be careful about the speed limit, though.
Yeah, you do. You absolutely do. So,
So, you know, but I got to play. I had more fun and games with my Power Probe. I was not a Power Probe guy for a long time.
Yeah.
And at the CF, the UD, whatever two letters we're using this week.
Monastery?
Yeah, the Monastery, yes. You know,
We had had this the Subaru in with a laundry list of stuff to take. You know, it was basically a maintenance type of deal. You know, it needed brakes and some.
What type of Subaru?
Stuff. It was a
whoop-de-doo.
Yeah, this friggin' thing. It was an Outback in old like 2000, and. You know, basic brake job and, you know, suspension stuff, which, you know, the boys just went through it. No big deal, you know. And then, of course, there's a check engine light. So you know what happens then? Everybody, I got to do a beer run. You know,
yeah.
All of a sudden, I'm alone.
Yeah, Joe. yeah, fix that.
And
which is actually the better way to do it.
Well, there is some things to be said for it, you know what I mean? But you know, there are times when the thought process needs to be done in quiet.
Yeah.
And, you know, at one point, especially, you know, if like Jeopardy's on or Wheel of Fortune, you know what I mean? It's really hard because sometimes you just get confused between the car
and the question.
And the question or like what Van is doing.
Sometimes
the TV not being on it and no side conversations.
TV in the shop, boy.
Yeah, nice large screen TV. It's great. Every weeknight we watch Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune religiously, you know, and we expand our knowledge. We also learn our phonics, you know. We try to stay on the intellectual side.
How are you guys
of things.
Coming along with all that, by the way?
Oh, I've actually gotten to the middle of the alphabet now.
Okay,
and I'm up to about the seventh grade question.
I like
level.
The way Count Chocula. Count Chocula. That's the cereal. The Who was the vampire on
the
Sesame
Count.
Street? The Count.
They
yeah,
used
Count.
To call him the Count, yeah.
Yeah, the Count. I like the way he used to do the alphabet, yes.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah. Well, he actually was more of a numbers guy, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, but we digress.
Yes, we digress, yes.
So, grab the scanner, and I decided to use the Maxidas for this because I said to myself,
it's
you know...
It's still working, huh?
God bless that thing. I used to get... I got rid of. I sold off the G scan, so that's gone. Which used to be like my go to Asian car tool, but the update just kind of outweighed its usefulness because it only went up to about 2010 or so. And you know, in other places, in other shops that I go to, I need newer stuff.
Yeah.
So I grabbed the Maxidas instead of the Snap On because
it's Maxidas.
Maxidas.
And it's the Queen's version.
I grabbed the code, and it was. P1520
Ooh.
Cooling fan.
Oh,
cooling fan?
Huh.
Come on, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
So anyway, do a little reading real quick, and of course I grabbed the scan tool and I start trying to command stuff. And Subaru is like the early 2000s, 90s. You might as well basically have like a paperclip, a pair of vice grips, and a bag of Speedy Dry because that had the same diagnostic capabilities. So I'm like, oh, okay. So now I grabbed the manual, like, you know, fire up the good old all data. And basically, I had forgotten that Subaru has what they call check mode.
Oh,
now it's kind of like
check, please.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. It's like the old GMs were used to like jump. Two terminals on the ALDL, the data link connector, and like the fan would come on, the fuel pump, the carburetor start ticking. Well, you could do that too with a Subaru. You find this little green connector, usually sits right above the gas pedal. Mm-hmm. I had forgotten about it because I never use it. I use scan tools, but I couldn't do squat otherwise. So I plugged this thing in, and now all of a sudden, all the outputs are going, and this car has two fans. Only one fan works.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, well, there's my fan number one control circuit.
Right.
So with a little looking around, I said, okay. Car was a little crusty, you know, and I grabbed the power probe. Now, usually I would have meters, test lights. Well, they came out anyway, but jumper wires, paper clips, cotter pins, all kinds of stuff. But the power probe really really did the right thing because basically now that was like kind of my voltmeter and my jumper wire together. Right. This thing had power to the fan. I could stick the power probe in. You know, we did the 4-pin relay dance there. I'm holding my hand up. Sorry, people, you can't see that.
Yeah.
I did my 4-pin relay check, which I got to get up on the website.
That looked like
know?
The horse in Animal House. It was like,
yeah,
like just
and I found that I had my power going to the terminal that ran the fan, but I didn't have any command from the ECM.
Okay,
I'm like. To quote Lurch. So, at that point, out comes the wiring diagram, find the computer location, and then I would just turn the key on and you would start applying ground with the power probe. I found the routing of the wire through the diagrams, and I would just keep grounding the wire on my way through, which is what it does on the relay, and I could turn the fan on by myself, but not the computer.
Okay.
Finally, now on those cars too, the computer is underneath the carpet.
Oh, great.
Under this steel plate.
Good place. All right,
you know, like where you put your toes, and I saw water stains when I got under there, because like this thing is literally under the carpet.
Yes.
So they swept it under the rug, pulled that up.
Hondas did that too.
Yeah, Nissan. I think there was a couple. There's a few cars. I'm like, what kind of suicidal crap is this? Well, anyway, got it up, found the pin, stuck. At this point, I stuck a probe in there, a good old T pin. And found that, and I said, okay, let's apply ground with the power probe.
Mm-hmm.
No, came on.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, Y is good, relay is good, power is good, fan's good, all this stuff, one shot. I mean, basically, I was in the car for about, excluding all the distractions.
Oh, they came
maybe
back.
About 40, oh, yeah, about 45 minutes. Oh, in the meantime, too, I also soldered in a crimp terminal, a headlight into a Equinox.
Okay.
That's another story. But sure enough, what I did was I just left the voltmeter on the power probe, just let it hanging out there, let the car get up to its operating temperature, had the scan there, which was supposed to come on at 95 degrees centigrade, which it never did, even though it tried to. In other words, it tried to ground the relay, and it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay. But meanwhile, I can manually ground it. Next, we start looking for now we're going to look for an ECM for this poor thing.
Ah.
Unfortunately, you know, but, you know, basically it was an hour's labor, a little bit more.
Let's see if we can take a real quick call here. That's a great story. We'll go to the phones and say, hi, you're on the Motor Mouths.
Hi, this is John from Freeport. How are you?
Yeah, hey. John, what's up?
I have a 2005 Volvo, and the automatic window on the left side, it hits the top and it comes right back down. And that sort of seemed to cure itself after a little while, or at least you'd learn to deal with it. But now it's happening on the right passenger side window also. And what is it when it rolls, you know, I tell it to roll up, it rolls up automatically, hits the top, and just comes right back down again.
Have you had the battery disconnected lately?
Battery trouble?
Then you have battery go dead, battery changed, battery disconnected because of some other work?
No, I think I still have the same presets and so forth. I had a problem with the car stereo. It's blank now. I don't see any display. But
like the battery blanked out?
Well, yeah. The reason why is a lot of cars these days, that's like the anti-pinch feature, okay, which...
I'm not hearing you too well. I'm sorry.
Is that better?
Yeah, a little better.
Okay, good. I have they have what they call an anti-pinch feature, which in other words, like if you decide to stick your fingers in there, you want to do a little creative, you know, mani-pedi or something, or that the window doesn't grab you. When it encounters resistance, like somebody sticking their hand in there or whatever, it pulls back. Now, a lot, because that's a learned procedure. In other words, it goes by, there's a couple different methods that they use, current draw, speed calculation, whatever the case may be.
They don't use a limit switch? They don't use a limit switch?
Not in the usual sense. No, it actually senses the draw of the current, or like Honda and Toyota, they use like a speed counter. Anyway.
What about as the motor ages and the current draw can change?
Pretty much, haven't seen that.
We got to wrap this in about a minute anyway.
Okay,
so we'll
long story short is that many times there's a relearn procedure, which has to be done. What mile Volvo was that?
I'm not too good with the. It was a two. It's about a 2003, 2004. It's a regular four door.
I was going to try to look up the procedure because it's going to be model specific. But a lot of times, what you do is like the tried and true method for most cars is you roll the window down. All right, you count to three while holding the switch, then bring the window up, not the automatic, just hold the switch to the up position, hold it up there for the count to three, and let it go. And that usually relearns them, unless there's something else goofy going on.
John, you know what you do, John? Send us an email, motormouthradio@ncc.edu.
And I'll see if there's a procedure for you.
Include the specifics, like the year, make, and model. And then we'll try and diagnose it that way for you, and then we'll cover it back again next week.
Yeah, but try that relearn thing with the hold the switch, count to three, see what happens.
I'm afraid it's going to bounce back when I get to the top, but I will definitely try it.
If you hold your hand there, it won't do it, so that you give it a shot.
All right, have a good one. Thanks a lot.
Okay, John, thanks.
Bye.
It's always tough at the end of the show to diagnose something that's
yeah, we always get the cool questions at the end of the show.
I know, right? I know.
What are you all procrastinating on there? Come on!
Well, we don't have a guest scheduled for next week, so we'll see. We're
talking
play
to ourselves
ear,
again,
right?
And you never know what falls out.
And we will be back, though. Ray Guarino, Joe D., Motormouth Radio.
On WHPC.
Yes, we'll see you next week. Bye.